My subject today is on having the mind of Christ. My text is from the second chapter of the Philippian letter, on page 1023, if you'd like to follow me along. And I will begin reading with verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thanks be to God. Let us pray silently for a moment. In Christ's name, amen. 20 hours ago, at the international dateline in the Western Pacific, this day began. It is Worldwide Communion Sunday, and I suspect that the first celebrations of this sacrament were in chapels in Fiji, Samoa, and Micronesia. As the day sped westward and moves toward the final darkness that is night, 1 billion plus Christians today will have the opportunity to gather at this table of Holy Communion, a gathering of the community of faith of every race and color, of all languages and dress, in every imaginable circumstance of life and fortune, for the ground is level as we stand at this table. We have gathered because, O Savior Christ, our woes dispel. For some are sick and some are sad, and some have never loved thee well, and some have lost the love they had. We gather all over the world today to celebrate Holy Communion. If you were to be the preacher of the morning, what would be your text for this service? There are so many to choose from that describe the work and the life of Jesus Christ. I have chosen this beautiful word from the second chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Some scholars call this section of the Philippian letter the Christ hymn. Others have called it the crowning revelation concerning Jesus in the Pauline epistles. Nowhere does Paul state any clearer what he believes concerning the person of Jesus Christ. Dr. William M. Elliott Jr., who was my hero in the ministry when I was a young minister, and I think he was the ablest preacher in our church at that time. In a sermon that he preached on this passage, he said that in 131 words is set forth by the Apostle Paul our Lord's preexistence, his essential deity, his incarnation, his complete identification with sinful men and women, his vicarious death on the cross, his exaltation, and his eternal lordship in all things. But you know, the powerful motivation of this text for me is not in the doctrinal breadth of it, but in the personal, practical implication of it. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let Christ Himself be your example as to what your attitude to be. Let the very Spirit which was in Christ Jesus be also in you. To have the mind of Christ. What would that be? What is the mind of Christ? Well, note first of all that it is a selfless mind. He made Himself, said Paul, of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. He never thought of Himself first. He thought of you and of me and of doing the will of His Father. The mind of Christ is a selfless mind. His was not a grasping mind. He held on to nothing that was His, but gave everything He had away. He did not demand and cling to His rights. How different that is from you, from me, and from most of the persons that we know. You see, the mind of Christ is always expressing itself in generosity. During the weeks that I was recuperating from my surgery this spring, I became familiar for the first time with the writings of a doctor, Richard Seltzer. He is a professor of surgery at Yale University. He's also the associate professor of writing. Dr. Seltzer, in one of his books, tells the story of Adele. She is a recovery room nurse, unknown and unheralded. Day after day, she received into her care post-operative patients. Her patients had all had one thing in common. They were unconscious. She cared for them. And guess what? Not a single patient ever remembered Adele. Year after year, she ministered with skill and caring to those who were committed to her care. When she retired, she was presented a purse of $100, and the chief of surgery proposed a toast with ginger ale. And after she retired, Dr. Seltzer said he saw her just once, sitting in a park, enjoying the scenery on a beautiful autumn day. But he said, I thought of her often, how many patients she had encouraged all those years. You're going to be fine, she would whisper to them. Pretty soon now you're going to move to a private room, and then in a few days you'll be at home in your own bed and well again. The endless chain of patience, she cared for them, and no one remembered her or having seen her. But still she cared. Let me tell you, hers was the mind of Christ, a giving mind. Not a grasping mind. It was a mind of love, not a mind of greed. Perhaps Carl Jung said it best of all when he told the story of an inquiry made to an old rabbi. Rabbi, someone asked, why in the golden days did God speak to people and sometime appeared to show Himself to people? But today nobody ever sees God. And the rabbi thought for a moment and he said, perhaps it's because nowadays no one can bow low enough to see Him. The mind of Christ is a selfless mind. This is so important because I've come to believe that at the heart of most problems in this world, personal and national, is a selfish spirit. There are so many individuals and nations that are saying, you have something that I want, so I'll just take it from you. And then you have a great conflict and a problem. And often you have a war. One day Lucy was chasing Charlie Brown. I'll get you, Charlie Brown, she said. And when I catch you, I'm going to just knock your block off. Charlie stopped suddenly and turned and confronted her saying, wait a minute, Lucy. Wait a minute. If you and I, relatively small children with small problems, can't sit down and talk through our problems in a mature way, how can we expect the nations of the world to... Pow! She hit him in the mouth. And then she said, and I quote, I had to hit him quick. He was beginning to make sense. give the mind of Christ a chance. It is a selfish mind. Life is short. And we have not too much time for gladdening the hearts of those who are traveling life's way with us. Be swift to love. Make haste to be kind. Give the mind of Christ a chance. Well, the mind of Christ is not only a selfless mind, it is secondly a humble mind. Paul writes, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. You remember that little verse we sing at Christmas? They all were looking for a king to slay their foes and lift him high. Thou camest a little baby thing that made a woman cry. The humble beginnings of Christ, his earthly parents, a village carpenter, a peasant girl. He was born in a place where the odors of the barnyard prevailed. The American dream is that thought that one can rise from a log cabin to the White House. The story of Christ is the exact opposite of that. It is not a story that begins in lowliness and rises to glory. It is a story that begins in glory and descends to lowliness. It is a story of God becoming a servant. The mind of Christ is a humble mind. He became less than he was in order that all of us might become more than we are. You remember how the Bible put it? Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. Well, the mind of Christ is not only a selfless mind and a humble mind, it is thirdly an obedient and sacrificial mind. Paul said he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Cicero tried to describe one day the horror of crucifixion. And he said, "How shall I describe crucifixion? No adequate word can be found to describe so execrable an enormity." The mind of Christ is a mind that sacrifices. You know, in my preparation for preaching on Sunday, every day of the week in the early morning hours, I take out my manuscript and I read it over. Every day I read it over. Every day I read it over. And this week, as I began to read this manuscript anew, I found myself asking again and again, what, if anything, have I ever sacrificed for Jesus Christ? Can you think of anything that you've ever given up, that you wanted, that you sacrificed for him, for his church, and his cause? You see, the American mind is not a sacrificing mind. It is a mind that acquires, that grasps, that reaches for more. It is a mind, basically, that is never satisfied. And I suspect because of that, we have minds that are never at peace. Henry Ward Beecher said, "It is not what we take up, but what we give up that makes us rich." Arthur Tennis told a story rooted in the Korean War that I've never forgotten. A misfit was inducted into a platoon. He became the butt of jokes. He obviously didn't fit. The drill sergeant, a veteran of many years, became very frustrated with this person, and he was obviously not going to make it. One day, the men in the platoon decided to play a cruel joke on this poor fellow. They took a dummy grenade, and the sergeant was in on the joke and announced to the platoon as they gathered in a circle that this was a live grenade, and he handed it to one of the men, and he said to him, "Pull the pin and throw it." The man pulled the pin, fumbled with the grenade, and dropped it at the foot of the misfit. Instantly, that man fell on the grenade, covering it with his body. Seconds of utter silence passed. The man on the ground realized that he was the butt of a cruel joke. He was humiliated. He lifted his face. But the circle of the men around him, including the sergeant, they were not laughing. The sergeant reached out his hand to help him up. And when he stood on his feet, he embraced him. And never again did anyone laugh at that boy. Do you know why? It was because when the chips were down, he demonstrated that he was willing to die for the other members of his platoon. The mind of Christ is a sacrificing mind. Is yours? The end of the passage that serves as our lesson for today is one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't it more than interesting to you that the one whose name is above all names, whose glory is chanted in the heavens, isn't it more than interesting to you that all that he was is rooted in selflessness and humility and his willingness to be obedient to the point of sacrifice? You see, the eternal qualities that undergird a well-lived life are never the obvious qualities. Power, self-aggrandizement, greed, and hate. Those are never the qualities that win the day. And today, 1 billion plus Christians will remember him as we gather about his table. We are told in the Bible that we are not to come to this table if there is some estrangement, some wall of hostility, some wall of anger or bitterness between ourselves and another person. The reality is that this table can make a difference in your life. If you are estranged and bitter and need to forgive someone, why wait any longer? Now is the time. This is the moment. Seize it. I found a bit of verse the other day, and I want to close with it. It's called "The Things You Didn't Do," and it goes like this. Remember the day I borrowed your brand new car and I dented it and I thought you'd kill me, but you didn't? And remember the time I dragged you to the beach and you said it would rain and it did, and I thought you'd say, "I told you so," but you didn't? You remember the time I flirted with all the guys to make you jealous and you were, and I thought you'd leave me, but you didn't? And do you remember the time I spilled strawberry pie all over the car rug and I thought you'd hit me, but you didn't? And remember the time I forgot to tell you the dance was formal and you showed up in jeans? I thought you'd drop me, but you didn't. Yes, there were lots of things you didn't do, but you put up with me, you loved me, and you protected me. There were lots of things I wanted to make up to you when you returned from Vietnam, but you didn't. What better time than now? What better place than here? As we gather about this table to get the matters that need dealing with in life and experience straight and settled once and for all. Albert Schweitzer put it this way. The Savior, he comes to us as one unknown. As of old, he came to the men by the lakeside, and he speaks to us the same word he spoke to them, "Follow me." And he sets us to the task he has for us to fulfill in his time, in our time. He reveals himself in the toils and conflicts and sufferings that we shall pass through as we walk with him in friendship. And there is a mystery that unfolds. We shall come to know in our experience who he is. The mind of Christ, try it. It's transforming. We give thanks, our Father, for these moments together. We ask your blessings upon us now as we gather to break bread together at a table where Christ is our host. Amen.